Mighty God, as we gather by the Vesper light at the end of this holy day, send your Spirit into our midst to be our companion along the way as we begin our Lenten journey. May we find our way to our true home, Jesus Christ, who is our joy and peace. In his name I pray. Amen. Good evening. I think if you're a member, you've heard me say before that my father ran a large department store in Birmingham, Alabama. The name of it was Tillman Levinson. And before there was an S&K or a TJ Maxx or Marshall's, my father's business was the only discount retail store selling off-market fine goods for hundreds of miles around. In fact, on big sale days, it was not uncommon to have people come actually in from other states and park their RVs overnight in the parking lot to be at the door at opening time. One year, I remember the crowd was so large, the sale was so big that the doors collapsed under the weight of shoppers who raced down the aisles to battle for their spoils. I think that is because my father advertised a mink coat for $5, but there was only one, and it was in the back of the store. So, now these were the days before strict child labor laws, or I guess they were, because my father put my two sisters and me to work throughout the year, especially during high volume seasons, and sometimes that meant 12-hour days with two 30-minute meal breaks. Sometimes it meant pricing items or making boxes in the stock room, but most importantly were the days that came before our biggest annual sale, which was the Labor Day sale. So in the last week of July, in various places around my father's store, the doors were closed, and for days on end, all employees took inventory. Sometimes we call that taking stock. And under the watchful eye of my grandfather, A.E. Levinson, and my father, and various department heads, employees, and Levinson kids counted and counted and counted every single item in the store. It didn't matter how big it was, how small. If it was a pair of socks and one was missing, you still counted the one. If it was a piece of broken jewelry, you counted that. We counted chairs, tables, display cases, everything. And we took stock for several reasons. We did it to see if there had been what we called shrinkage. In other words, we may have thought we had enough of something, and yet we fell short. And either the accounting was wrong, or during the year there was some shoplifting, which there often was. And if shrinkage occurred, we would try to determine whether or not it was a popular item so we could purchase more for the coming year. We also took stock to see if there was any excess. Were there things my father or grandfather bought on a buying trip and they thought it would be a hot item, but now it really wasn't so. And so they would cut back or they would eliminate those items altogether. And we took stock to consider just what needed to be discarded. Something had been on the rack for years and no longer served a purpose. A broken, torn, simply unattractive item would be tossed into the pile, taken off the floor to the trash. Now, once everything was counted, the store could kind of then reboot. And so to speak, we were ready for that biggest sale day of the year. But that didn't get done. That Labor Day sale did not happen without some grueling hours of taking stock. We're here, my friends, this day to begin our season of Lent. If ever there was a day to take stock of our spiritual lives, this is the one, which launches us, of course, into 40 days of reflection and confession and consideration before really our biggest day of the year. It's a good day to consider whether we've experienced some internal shrinkage. Has something in our relationship with God been lost along this way? And if so, what happened? How did it happen? Do we sense maybe we're not as happy, not in as close a relationship with God or maybe with others as we used to be? If we take a hard look, do we find we're scarcely a shadow of our former spiritually robust selves? Ash Wednesday is inventory day, and it's time to take an honest appraisal. The lesson from the Old Testament that Jack read a moment ago comes to us from Joel. It was likely written sometime between the 9th and 6th century, depending on who you read. But it offers a serious call to the elders of the Hebrew people who seem to be perpetually having to take stock in their own relationship with God. But it's chosen and read on Ash Wednesday for we Christians because we have our own need for spiritual inventory. As you heard Jack read a moment ago, Joel writes, "Return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Rend your hearts, not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he's gracious, he's merciful, he's slow to anger, he's abounding in steadfast love." It is a stern warning to deeply, seriously take stock. Where might have you turned away from the person you know God is calling you to be? Have you a shrinkage in prayer, in silence, in charity, in love of neighbor? Has church become like an old familiar friend who you wave to from time to time as you pass by on Sage Road? Or is it a place where you actually come to get your shelves filled with those things that sustain you in this life and prepare you for the life to come? Well, Joel offers a stern warning, but a comforting word. Return to me, he says. Return to me. Come back to me with all your heart. God doesn't cast away. In fact, he asks you simply to look, to consider, and then to return to him. Joel says God invites us to rend our hearts, not our clothing. Tearing your clothing in Joel's day was a public sign of repentance for sorrow, for misdeeds. But God isn't interested in showy repentance. He's interested in our hearts. He calls us to take hand to chest and to tear open the broken and bruised places of our hearts so we can experience the fullness of his mercy and his grace. For indeed, he is gracious. He is merciful. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in steadfast love. Take stock. Consider what might be missing. And let God fill you up again. But our spiritual inventory also requires that we take stock and consider what is in excess. What might need to be released? Maybe it's something tangible. Maybe you've let your wealth control you so that charity and generosity have been pushed aside. Maybe you've taken what was once a pleasure in food or drink and they've become an obsession, an addiction. Maybe you've taken on anger and resentment as a companion and they need to be released. Be reconciled, Paul writes in the second lesson to the very divided community of Christians in Corinth. He says, be reconciled to God. And then he goes on to say, now is the day of salvation. In other words, don't put it off. Take stock today and whatever it is in you, whatever has replaced God, has filled you so excessively that it squeezes out room that is reserved for God in your life, then it needs to be released. Let it go. Take it off the shelves. Put it in the trash bin to be taken away so that you can be born anew. And when you empty your spiritual shelves of foolish items you once thought so important, what you're really doing is making space for God's filling. When you and I go on vacation, we sometimes say, I'm leaving behind the cares of the world, or at least we hope to. And in fact, the word vacation comes from the Latin vacatio, which means freedom and release from occupation. When we release things in our lives that do not belong there, we are letting go of things that have been living in us as if we are occupied territory. In other words, an enemy has come into a place that an enemy does not belong. There are things that are there that need to be taken out. So we're invited to consider if there is any enemy dwelling in our hearts this day that needs to be driven out by God's Spirit, that needs to be released. As Christians, the chief resident of our hearts is to be Jesus. Take stock. Shed the excess. Make room for Jesus. And we're going to give you some tools to help you take stock here at St. Martin's. I'll talk about those in a moment. But when I worked for my father, it was long before the days of computers. So we took inventory with big ballpoint pens and spiral bound notebooks. Horrible, horrible, tedious, laborious work. Sometimes I would just say a bunch of those things. So, but the tools we're going to give you are not that ordinary. We're going to give you nails to carry you through Lent, and there'll be extra times of worship and reflection and study. You can walk the stations of the cross, come to our daily Eucharist. These are some of the tools we'll use for our Lenten inventory time here. But our chief tool this evening is a mark. Just one mark. A cross of ash on your head with the words, remember your dust, and to dust you shall return. It's always been interesting to me that on the same day we read this gospel lesson that we heard a moment ago, beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. On that same day, we receive this mark of ash on our heads to go into the world to reveal our piety. I've seen them all over town today. But of course, what Jesus says is, beware. He doesn't say, don't do it. He suggests you take stock in why you are receiving this mark today. It's not for the audience of men and women who might applaud your church attendance or your personal piety. It is instead for the audience of one, God. Only God can judge your heart. So as Jesus says, take stock. Seriously consider what you're doing during your Lenten journey. And he gives you a few examples. He says, when you give alms or when you pray or when you fast, when you do anything for the sake of deepening your walk with Jesus Christ, do it for that sake alone. So may this mark of ash be a sign of your desire to return to the Lord, to rend your heart, not your garments, to be reconciled to God. May this mark of ash go below the surface of your skin and begin your process of a spiritual inventory, that you may return to those things you need to fill your spiritual shelves and release, let go of those things that weigh you down, that find their rightful place in the dustbin. May this mark of ash be done for the sake of your walk with Jesus and Him alone. Let it remind you of the passing of days. Oh, so quickly our journey toward our eternal home. We are. It's closer now than it was only moments ago when we came in. To make the most of every opportunity to enjoy the precious gift of God's goodness and granting us breath and life and one another and grace and mercy and salvation. And may this mark be a reminder of our death and His. And may it remind us of the open door through His grace of our life yet to come, through His defeat of death itself. May this ash be God's kiss upon your forehead. A kiss that says, if you return to me, if you let me, I will hold you. I will enter in. I will make you whole. My father's store, you just really couldn't have the big sale until we went through the annual inventory. It's Ash Wednesday. It's time to take stock. It's our own inventory season. But you know, all we're doing is preparing for the biggest day of the year. 40 days from now, we'll celebrate yet again the day Jesus was so full of the presence of God that he literally knocked down death's door so that he could race into every corner of the earth, taking hold of the spoils of his victory, those he calls his sheep, you and me, all of us. Take stock, my friends. Let him break down the door of your heart and make you his very own. Amen.